God's Word for You, 1 Corinthians 8, verses 9 to 11. Take care that this liberty of yours does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. For if someone sees you, a man who has knowledge, eating in an idol's temple, might not his conscience, weak as he is, be propped up to eat meat sacrificed to an idol? And so this weak man is destroyed by your knowledge, the brother for whom Christ died. Try to imagine what some of the Corinthian Christians were doing. They must have liked to show that they were progressive, on the cutting edge, and exceptionally knowledgeable. They thought that they were as conversant in the gospel as the scribes and Pharisees were in the law. They wanted people to follow their brilliant, super-informed way of behaving like a Christian. In that sense, they were in danger of becoming a Christian reflection of the Pharisees as trendsetters. They wanted to be, as we say today, influencers, or as they would have said then, philosophers. When we speak about things that God has neither commanded nor forbidden, that is, adiaphora, there are certain things to be considered. Number one, when we are free to do a thing, eat certain meats, baptize in a particular way, use a certain form of liturgy when we worship, and so on, we would sin if we were to use our liberty to lead a weak brother into sinning against his erring conscience. Two, if a person insists that we abstain from something that God has allowed, then we are not obliged to comply. Three, if a person insists that we must do a thing that God has not commanded and support his false view, then we are obligated not to yield to him. For example, Paul did not circumcise Titus when some false brothers insisted that he should in Galatians 2:3-5. Or again, the mode of baptism, such as by immersion, which we avoid when some insist upon it, since the manner of washing is nowhere commanded. Look at Mark 7, verse 4 carefully. In such a case, we state in our confession, we should not yield to adversaries even in matters of indifference, nor should we tolerate the imposition of such ceremonies on us by adversaries in order to undermine the genuine worship of God and to introduce and confirm their idolatry by force or chicanery. For it is written, for freedom Christ has set us free. Stand fast, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. That's Galatians 5:1. 4. If, however, a weak brother or sister was led to something in a particular way in a former church, it only requests that we could allow it, even though they understand this doctrine, then we might comply. I myself have done this when asked by a young African, she was Angolan, sister, to be baptized by immersion, but only because her family, her whole family, had been baptized in that way in Africa. 5. This doctrine does not apply when there is only a matter of preference, such as when a certain musical instrument is to be preferred in worship. Such a preference, or rather such preferences, are not subject to leading someone into sin, and therefore it is not a weak conscience that is being dealt with, but perhaps a stubborn head. 6. There are cases when someone might prefer a particular Bible translation, for example, especially an older one, such as the King James Version or in some circles the older NIV version. This is identical with the third point above, when the claim is made, for example, that other translations are in error. However, when there is simply a nostalgia for older phrases, there is also the matter of our loving heart for the young and for those who may not understand the dialect of the translation. Indeed, many phrases in the King James Version mean the opposite in contemporary English to what they seem to imply in the older form of English. God's Word is a matter of understanding, not of nostalgia. The Roman Catholic Church found that its preference to use only Latin in worship simply did not speak to the worshippers, and the decision of Vatican II in the 1960s in the matter released the people from their bondage to Latin. That was a good decision. Christ has set us free from any yoke of bondage. We stand in his liberty, and we should not entangle ourselves in any kind of theological slavery to someone else's demands, nor let our liberty be judged by someone else's conscience. Why, Paul says, should my freedom be judged by another man's conscience? That's 1 Corinthians 10:29. So we see that this is not a matter of indifference or something to be taken lightly. The matter of adiaphora, if ignored, can do great harm to the church and endanger souls if it is not guarded carefully. It is a matter of, well, loving our neighbor as we love ourselves, and of trusting in God above all things. In Christ, I'm Pastor Tim Smith. This is God's Word for you.